Welcome back to the PHSA podcast. My name is David Bickford. I'm the pastor here at Salmon Arm. This is a very special podcast series where I'm going to be sharing with you messages from our most recent conference in Prescott, Arizona, the Beyond Limits Conference, with a theme of to preach the gospel in the regions beyond from 2 Corinthians 10:16. I'm going to share all of the sermons from this conference series, and to include Greg Mitchell, our head pastor, Joe Campbell, Richard Ruby, Tom Payne, and many, many others during this series. So I'll be sharing these with you over the next couple weeks, and I hope you really enjoy these messages. If you'd like to see these messages in a video format, you can go to prescottpottershouse.com, where all of these will be available for you to view in a video format. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the messages, and I hope you enjoy them. God bless.
Amen. God bless you. Let's get our Bibles out and turn to Acts chapter 2, 17 through 19, and then verses 21 I want to look at this morning. It was December 26, 2004, when a 9.0 earthquake shook a region of the world. It was from pressure that was built up for over two centuries, and it was all released in a single moment. According to seismologists, the quake was responsible for a massive Asian tsunami that impacted multiple countries and not just one. So this was the equivalent of 0.25 gigatons of TNT. And the energy that was released was so huge, it caused the earth to wobble on its axis up to an inch. It also changed the local geography, shifting islands by inches or feet. It made noticeable impact on the topography of the seabed, and geophysicists termed it a megathrust. And I want to preach this morning on supernatural power for the last days. Out of Acts chapter 2, beginning verse 17, "And it shall come to pass," we know that it's going to be so, "in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." God, we're asking for your anointing today, your word to come alive. We're asking for a supernatural releasing of your power right now. Help us today, Lord. We want to know your will, and we want to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, look at power for the last days. And I believe what we see in the natural, there's always a parallel in the spiritual realm. And in these last days, there's coming a move of the Holy Spirit once again. It's a sudden thrusting forth of God's power upon a new generation. We respect those that have gone before us. We honor them because we would not be here without them. But what God is going to do in this final generation is upon a generation that does not know God. It is a visible and tangible move of God. This will bring radical change in the lives of believers that enables them to move into the fullness of what God intends for them to have. And how many know this morning there are many things that God wants us to have? But the question is, are we walking in what he wants of us? We'll enter into a new season of fruitfulness to become all that he intends for us to be as his church. Entering this new dimension will be a time when God's going to release his power in the greatest manifestations we have yet to see. Everything we have heard about, everything we have read about will happen again. And I've always believed, as my pastor had instructed me, Pastor Cluck and Pastor Mitchell, they believed that another healing revival would come again in the last days. Plus more, these supernatural signs will happen in conjunction with the preaching of the gospel. We believe that we are commissioned to go into all the world and declare that we serve a living God. It is not just another religion. We are not just another church on the block. But we believe that when we go into these cities and nations, that God is going to be with us and supernatural signs will follow what we do. The word of God must be preached. But the kingdom of God is not just in word. It's in the power. We must never believe that God's power is limited to an era of miracles, as some believe. Miracles are never meant to cease, but to continue and to perpetuate and to build up to a moment that there's a thrusting forth of God's power. We know this morning that we serve an unchanging God. That's why we're here today. The Bible says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's the same today as He's always been. He is not limited by time nor by space. From the very day He created the world until today, we know that signs and wonders have testified of His unlimited power. He's a God of power who always demonstrates that He's alive. Such wonders as the creation of the universe and humanity, the creation of God's chosen people out of the miracle child Isaac, the deliverance of Israelites from the Egyptian bondage that they came out of. We know the miracles that were manifest through the prophets, the miracles that were demonstrated through Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the miracles manifest to the disciples and the early church, miracles that worked through Spirit-led believers over the past two millennia. So great as these miracles are, remember that God does not limit Himself to a specific manifestation or method. In fact, a lot of times what He likes to do is move outside of the box. When we're one-dimensional thinking, God says, I can do whatever I want to do. I move outside of what is expected of you. God loves to break up our preconceived notions. We must not limit His working to certain miracles that He has demonstrated in the past. In other words, don't put God in a box. Don't believe that God is confined to a certain time or space where you begin to limit Him to what you think He should do and how he should do it. You're not God. You're not in control. And the Bible that I read, God loves to move outside the box when we think we can contain Him. And in these end times, there will be such a demonstration of God's power that there will be nothing that can be compared to it. We've seen great moves of God. I love studying revival. You have the Welsh revival. Evan Roberts was at the center of that. You have the Azusa Street Revival. William Seymour, that was the catalyst of that movement. We have the Latter Rain Revival. Many healing evangelists that came across America, set up their tents and saw supernatural miracles. We have the Jesus People Movement, which we come out of. We come out of a move of God. We are a movement, no doubt, in the earth. But what's to come is even greater than what we've seen before. And we believe that the Lord saves the best for last. In the 20th century alone, we have witnessed one of the greatest signs of Christ's coming. That is the rebirth of the nation of Israel. That is the regathering of Jews from around the world. This has been a sign to this final generation that this is fulfillment of the prophecies given to Israel thousands of years before, that God supernaturally intervened upon their behalf. What did He do? Proving His word to be true and that He is in fact a supernatural God. The nation of Israel is a living testimony to that fact, that God is still manifesting His miracle power today. We're not meant to explain God. We're not explaining the Bible here this morning. We are declaring and we are demonstrating. It's proof that God has never changed. To all the naysayers, this is one of the greatest signs and wonders ever manifested to the world. It is through Israel. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 7 and 8. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. So keeping in mind, it's these demonstrations and many other prophetic signs being fulfilled, and remember that they're heralding one thing, that Jesus Christ is coming back. How many believe that today, that Jesus Christ is still coming very soon? This is why we believe that there is an acceleration. There is a stirring of the Holy Ghost in the church today. Not because we're so great, not because we have everything together, but there is an acceleration because Jesus Christ is coming very soon. Just as God will continue to manifest his power in fulfilling his prophetic purposes for Israel, there is always a spiritual parallel with the last day's church, meaning he's going to manifest his power in his church. He wants it into the fullness of what he intends it to be. He intends for us to be a church of power in these end times. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and this is what we need, this is what we proclaim, that God, you can come and abide in our churches, that you can show up in power, that you can heal the sick, that you can deliver lives, that you can move in gifts of the Holy Ghost beyond what we can say. You can do whatever you please. The primary sign Jesus said would signal his coming is found in Matthew chapter 24. This was an answer to the disciples' questions. And one of these questions was found in verse 3. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus said in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. That word sign in verse 3 is translated in the Greek, semion. This refers to miraculous acts and visible demonstrations of power. So in other words, healing, deliverances, and miracles will accompany the preached word of the gospel, that this is the witness at the very end of the world that our God is alive, that we serve a living Christ. Yes, that he died upon the cross. He was buried, but on the third day he rose from the dead. And the Bible says that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall dwell in your mortal bodies. Hallelujah. We believe that God will pour out his spirit and power. Why is that? Because we know what we are. I'm not smart enough. I know what I am. He does that to enable us. My confidence is not in my flesh. I'm not intellectual enough. He does that to enable us to fulfill the destiny of the end time generation before Jesus comes. And all that God is doing today, he's calling us to move with the coming wave of power. He's saying, move out with me, step into the flow. This will be a fulfillment of the sign so that we are not left out in all that God wants to do. Christ has commissioned his followers to make disciples of the nations. You know, getting someone saved is somewhat easy. Hey, can I pray a prayer with you? Say this prayer after me. But making disciples is something entirely different. And this is what the Lord wants, to make disciples of the nations. We no doubt have made progress, but of the 8 billion people in the world today, 40% are considered unreached. Where are these places? We know it's still inside the 1040 window. More specifically, it's China, India, Pakistan, the Middle East, and Northern Africa. So the question that comes out of that, how can we reach them before Christ returns? How can we reach all these people unless there is a major outpouring of the Holy Spirit and supernatural power? I'm talking about doing what we do, yes, but there is an added dimension of God on our labors. Secondly, I'll look at a new season. So God wants us to set our eyes on this new season he'll bring us into, because that is what it is. It is a new season. We cannot compare what God is going to do in this time to what he has done before. You may think this morning, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm just a disciple. How can I be used by God? Think of all the miracles in connection with Elijah. The Bible says he was a human just like the rest of us. So that speaks for all of us this morning. Regardless of what ministry you have or you don't have, yet God used them in a powerful way, and God can and wants to do the same with us today. James chapter 5, 16 through 18. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly. Prayer is a good thing still. That it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So God desires to use everyday people. Right where they live and right where they work, he wants you to manifest his power to save and heal wherever you go. He wants to breathe new life into the church, to even bring us to the place where he can use us in this way. Because this doesn't just happen. Ephesians chapter 4, 12 through 13. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, that they should do the work of ministering towards building up Christ's body, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood and completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him. So we know that Jesus gave the church the Holy Spirit. His plan is for us to grow and to mature until we are living in the fullness of his power. That's what we are desiring today. God, give me power, enable me so that I can make a difference where I go. Our spiritual ignorance, fear, and unbelief, and even neglect can quench the Spirit from manifesting himself in our midst. I get tired of church service as usual. I was raised in this fellowship. God save us from boring church services where we fall asleep. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the fire of Pentecost to fall. Think of it, Christ has made every provision for us to enable us to accomplish the work that he has given us before he returns. The church today has reached a point of no return. We're facing a desperate world unparalleled in history that can only be met by a church that rises up in the supernatural power of God. And I believe this is the only way. Another generation is arising that desperately needs to see and experience his miracles. We live in a generation, they're just zoned out. They're zombies. They need to be shaken out of their apathy, and that can only come by the power of God. They need to know that God is alive, that God is alive in our churches. They need to see him at work. Our goal isn't to focus just on the miraculous, but our focus is on a supernatural God who's still alive today. This isn't dead religion, but a living faith. And that's what we declare going into these nations. How can we compete with other religions that have been there for thousands of years? You're not going to get your Bible out and say, hey, turn with me to this scripture. Let me show. No, they need to see power. They need to see that your God's alive, because they have their spiritual book as well, which they believe is old as the Bible. So how can you compare scripture to scripture? You can't. You need a dimension of God, that our God is with us and he's alive. He's setting captives free. He's healing the sick before our eyes. He's causing the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear. As his powers manifest into the nations, to the church, we know that doors for the gospel will open that were once closed. We always know that we have to act now. The Holy Spirit has always desired to reveal Jesus to the nations in the fullness of his glory through the church. These end time ministries won't be limited to inside of the church, but it will take place in the streets where people are found. God, save us from formalism, that we forget where we come from and what God has done in the past, that we become so churchy that God can never break in and pour out His Spirit on a generation that must see God. As believers move into this dimension, signs and wonders will once again be an everyday function of the church. You know, miracles should no longer be the exception, but the norm. Some guys, they pray for people and they're like, whoa, you got healed? That should be the norm. I don't look at miracles as something amazing. No, this is the Bible. What it takes for revival to break out in a nation is a supernatural demonstration of Pentecost. We are Pentecostals today, and we always believe that the element that we must have in our ministries is a Pentecostal dimension. Some guys, I'm sorry, you'd make good Baptist. Many nations and cities have dead formal churches everywhere, but what they lack is an on-fire Pentecostal experience. We believe that our churches can have these experiences around the altar. It's not just intellectualism, knowing Christ up here. It's having an experience down in your heart that you know that God has touched you and saved you from your sin and put you on the right path. Lastly, we'll look at characteristics of this dimension. There are a few characteristics of the coming move of God's power that will position the church to bring in the greatest harvest ever seen. Divine enablement is always connected to reaching the harvest. That's the end game. It's always the loss. Number one, we believe that God moves through the church. We still believe in the church regardless of all the scandals that we hear today. It's still the church. Number one, God will bring radical change in the church for the purpose of bringing it to a new level of spiritual maturity and authority. And because of this, He'll channel through the church supernatural power. And I declare this morning that divine power is undeniable proof. You can argue all day long with the LDS, the JWs, how your Bible's real, your Bible true, your stand. But what breaks all that is undeniable proof. Secondly, God will bring the church to a new level of revelation, to where He'll reveal Himself in intimate relationship. The glory of God is always manifest in the midst of a people who truly know Him and not just know about Him. What I needed in my life as a church kid is to know Him intimately. I knew about Him. I heard all the greatest preachers. It didn't move me. What moved me is when the Spirit of God became real and came down and met me on my level and began to move in my heart and convict me of the way that I was living. Thirdly, there will be called out believers who give themselves fully to God. They'll be empowered to do the work of the ministry. Who are these people? Common church members who'll be used in the miraculous. Long gone are the days of the specially anointed preachers. We're not about personalities here. Oh, he's my favorite. And rank, there shouldn't be no rank. It's about the people. It's about those sitting out in the audience. It's about empowering the church, common people that can do the works of God in a mighty way. Fourthly, a wave of God's power will sweep across cities and nations. This is a final end time demonstration and it results in revival. All we do is to remain faithful in what we've been doing. All we are to do is to step out in the flow of revival. God has been preparing us for this moment as the church. And I believe that with all my heart, everything that we do, everything that we know to do, I believe has been set in motion by God for this very moment that we're going to see revival, that God is going to breathe upon America, that God is going to breathe upon the nations of the earth in these in times. You see, this move of God will be like a mighty rushing river. And the imagery is that it's flowing throughout the nations. It's like the great river of life that the angel showed John. It was flowing out from the throne of God. And in this river, it poured forth new life, healing, power, and anointing. Everywhere it flowed, something began to happen. And everywhere that this stream is going to flow, there will be growth. There will be fruitfulness. And there will be many coming into God's kingdom. So the question that remains, have you stepped into the river of God? Or are you like the people that Stephen saw in the vision? Standing on the bank, watching the river, but not stepping in. You could be in a great conference body like this today, but it doesn't mean that you're stepping in. You could be around great men of God. You could be around the greatest preaching in the world, but it's a decision of your will that I'm going to put aside the complacency. I'm going to put aside all the distractions, and I'm going to step in to what God has for my life. There are many Christians that have heard about the river, about God's coming glory. And what happens? We hear about revival. Yeah. We know that already. But no, I believe the only answer at this moment for America is revival. They know what the Bible teaches about his miracle power flowing through his people. They may have even experienced a portion of it in the past, in past revivals and past moves of God. Yet they have failed to take the next step of going out into the deep where they can immerse themselves in God's glory. And I declare that in this coming move, if God is going to use you, he's going to have to immerse you to walk in the supernatural and to see the miraculous. In these last days, you need to be willing to get off the banks and to move out with God into the deep. That's what regions beyond and going beyond limits is all about. You want to find God's power, it's in the doing. It's in living on the edge. It's getting off the bank and getting into the deep where God can use you and give you an unction and anointing that you never had. Joshua chapter 3, 11 through 17, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down from the upstream, they shall stand as a heap. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan and the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, so that the waters that went down in the Sea of Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people who had crossed completely over the Jordan. So notice, as soon as the feet of the priest carrying the ark of the covenant stepped into the water, the river parted. If those priests hadn't taken those steps into the water, the people would had never been able to enter into the promised land. If you have not stepped out into the flow of God's river this morning, don't hesitate. Don't settle for second best or just a dip in the water. God is declaring, get immersed, get filled all the way. Get the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Get all that God has for you. Don't stop halfway, but go all into the fullness of God, what God has. We have to set our focus on the source of the flow. Break through every hindrance, every lie, every barrier, and take that first step. Maybe you're wading in the mile current, or you have believed a lie from the enemy that you cannot do what God is calling you to do. But remember that God is on your side. He's saying, yes, you could do it. Yes, you can step out. Yes, a supernatural dimension can be upon you. Yes, that mighty signs and wonders can follow you. Yes, you can move in gifts of the Holy Ghost. Yes, you can respond to a nation. Yes, you can go beyond limits, because I believe you can. Remember, it's the Lord who's calling you. It's not man. This fellowship is not calling you. I'm not calling. No, it's God. This is all about God. To go in deeper, to get into the fullness of His Spirit, we need to have an immersion experience. Not just a river play it safe experience. Riverbank save it, play it safe experience. J. Oswald Sanders said, we're at this moment as close to God as we really choose to be. True, there are times when we like to know a deeper intimacy. But when it comes to the point that we're not prepared to pay the price involved. There's a story about a man by the name of Paul Dawson. He was saying, we visited the Grand Coulee Dam. He said, my family and I were surprised to see that the visitor center was dark. It was a sunny day, so we thought that the center might have tinted windows. But soon as we got close, we realized there was no lights on. We went in and saw that none of the displays were working, and suddenly it became clear there was no power to the center. Due to a technical difficulty of some kind, the visitor center that sat only hundreds of feet from a hydroelectric dam had no power. How could something be so close to the power source yet not be plugged in? I want to ask you this morning in closing, are you plugged in? We nod in approval to the preaching. That's good. Good thought. But are you plugged in? We come to the altar, do our little Catholic 5 minutes and we're gone. Are you plugged in? Are you desperate for God? Are you desperate to be used in what God is going to do in these end times? Do you want to be immersed? Do you want God to take you beyond your limitation? Because the point is, we are all limited. We are all limited in who we are. But there's a transcendency of God that comes upon us that enables us to be everything that God has called us to be, because we know who we are and because we know we are limited. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. I want to pray this morning for individuals here today. You're asking God to help you this week, and I'm talking about a supernatural immersion where you're tired. I've come to conferences where I said, you know, unless God helps me, this is it. It's over for me. And you're at that point right now. That's a good place to be, because in desperation, there comes faith. When you're tired of yourself, that's a great place to be. I've tried. I can do it. You're in a good place to be, because now we realize, God, I need immersion. I need a touch of God. I need a supernatural dimension. You want God to meet with you? I want to pray for you quickly. I want you to stand for just a moment. You want God to touch you right now. You want God to move upon your life, your body, your ministry. You're asking for a renewal of the Holy Ghost in your life, a freshness. We know that the letter kills, but the Spirit brings forth life. We need life, God, life that would flow. That river that would flow in our ministries, that river that would flow in our lives, break up the fallow ground. And I want to pray with you today. God, we're asking for a supernatural releasing of your power. We are your last days church. We are entering into a new season. God, we're asking that you would be with us today, that you would pour out of your Spirit. God, our hearts are open. We are limited creatures. God, you are the unlimited God. Supernaturally meet with us. Let there come impartation this week. Let there come a reviving of our hearts. Let there come life into our church. Let there come a dimension of God in supernatural signs and wonders. Bring forth miracles right now. God, we receive it. We receive it right now. We desire revival. It's about your people. We are a movement of people.
Thank you for listening to the PHSA Potter's House Salmon Arm podcast. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Potter's House_Salmon Arm to keep up to date on what we are doing, join the conversation, and discover how Jesus Christ can revolutionize your life.